Robin, thank you so much for chatting to us.
Oh, thanks, Kath. It's great to be here.
So can you tell us a little bit about the history of secondhand from your perspective? How did this all come about?
Well, just as you might imagine, you know, I'm a person who the op shop is my second or almost my first home. And, you know, I just found myself wondering one day, you know, where was the first op shop? It was as simple as that, the question that I began with. And so I looked into that. And from there, you know, I kind of peeled the layers back to find, you know, the previous incarnations of secondhand and how, you know, what predated op shops. So op shops, you know, came into being in the 1920s. The first opportunity shop was in Melbourne in the 1920s, and it was an idea that came to a fundraising lady who'd been travelling overseas and had been to charity shops or bargain shops, they were called, in Europe, in France in particular, and also in the US. And she came back here and was part of a big fundraising push for a new hospital wing. And she said, why don't we have one of these bargain shops? And she sort of took the French name, which was something like Magasin d'Occasion, which meant bargain shop in French. But she kind of gave it a twist because occasion can also mean opportunity. And so what a great, you know, what a great marketing brain she had. Lady Millie Tallis called it an opportunity shop. And it was like a jumble sale, you know, to the power of 10. So it ran for months instead of just for an afternoon. And, you know, it was just powered by donations and everybody went to it, not just the people in the kind of disadvantaged regions, but everyone. And, you know, it was a huge hit and others emulated it.
I wouldn't have thought that the history would have gone back as far as the 1920s. That surprises me, actually, to be honest.
Yeah, it surprised me too, because there was then a big dip. So opportunity shops were a bit of a thing for a short while following that original one, and it was one of these things where a charity, a church or whatever would prevail on the local estate agent to let them use an empty shop while they found a new tenant, and they'd kind of hop from shop to shop along a street. But that kind of died out kind of during the Depression, which is weird.
Yeah, wow.
I would imagine. and it didn't really revive in a big way most places until, you know, until the 70s, really. It kind of flickered into life in a few places in small ways. And where it did flicker into life, for instance, one little opportunity shop in Fitzroy in Melbourne in the 1930s was so popular, was so inundated on the couple of days each month that it would open, that police used to have to be called for crowd management so that only so many people could go into the shop at one time, and so on, because, you know, clothes, everything were phenomenally expensive as a percentage of people's income. Clothes were really expensive in ways that we can't imagine now in our times of sort of cheap and fast fashion that can be switched several times a year. You know, people had very few outfits of clothes. Working people had very few outfits of clothes, and this was your opportunity, literally, to replenish them cheaply.
And speaking of you know, today we live in a world of fast fashion, and the sort of price to wage ratio isn't quite what it once was. In a more materialistic world, I suppose, people tend to prioritise spending more. What do you think the appeal is that makes people still want a thrift shop?
Want a thrift shop? Oh, well, there's quite a few angles on it. I mean, it means different things to different people. But from my perspective, and I think from lots of people's, it's a kind of creative way of shopping. Because although there's an endless supply of stuff, it's not necessarily the stuff that you think you're looking for, or that will fit you, or is the colour you want, or whatever it is. And it requires a kind of an improvisational approach to shopping that makes shopping a more creative act than, and that you have to bring more to it than just money. You have to bring more to it in order to have a satisfying experience. And I think that appeals to such a lot of people that it warms something in their cockles that ordinary shopping just doesn't. Where you go in and you see a rack or a vast warehouse full of things, the same things in different colours and so on, and you just go that and that. Op shopping or thrift shopping isn't like that, and I think that's what people find rewarding and more than that, meaningful, and the serendipity of it. And the fact that it's kind of unmediated in a way and uncurated to a large degree, you have to bring a lot more to it. And it feels more like a two-way experience than your average consumer outing.
Well, Robin, it's been a lot of fun. Thank you so much for chatting to us.
My pleasure. It's such a wonderful subject, so it's great to share it with you.
Oh, it was a lot of fun. Thanks, Robin.
Okay, thanks, Kat.